So it, tonight, this is a Bounding Winds part 196. And Ella Allison said something very interesting today while we were working. She had said what God gave her about it, the abounding winds, on how really, if there were areas of abasement, that because of propitiation, it always causes us to be in the place of abounding. Paul said he it didn't matter if he was if he had a lot or had a little, he was always in a place really of abounding. He was always in a place of victory. It didn't matter what situation he was in, because of the word, because of the propitiating power of the Lord, it didn't make a difference. And it reminded me of a scripture that darkness and light were both alike. It doesn't make a difference for those that understand and are touched by the propitiating power that comes out of the blood of Jesus. And I thought that was really interesting. And I said, you know, that's exactly what this series is all about. That's exactly what this long series has been about. It's been about abound. We've been abounding through every circumstance.
Amen.
And so in essence, there really is no abasing place, because our mindset stays the same as long as we stay in the study of this now rhema word. We're always abounding, and we can
Amen.
always extract victory, welfare, prosperity, favor. And it's true. It is so true. And I thought that was really, really powerful. And she read it from the Message Bible. So when you get a chance, read those scriptures from the Message. It will really bless you. And so, but anyway, I want to talk to you tonight and give you a deeper understanding. God wants to give us a deeper understanding to why the anointing is released through our oneness. And we have been in this series, or the part of the series, about discovering that we are one, we are the body. And as a result of it, we're finding a greater dimension of the covenant, or the fruit of God's peace, that as we are assembling together, there's a greater release of the anointing, a greater release of God's power. I experienced it in prayer on Tuesday night. And just hearing all the training and all the things in which Minister Kurt has done, now they're running, Elder Donna and Evangelist Benito are running in it. And there was just such a connection that I really, really discerned. And it was really, really tremendously powerful. Truly powerful. And I invite everybody, just if you just want to come in on those meetings, I agree to get in on those meetings on Tuesday, because there is something shifting and going on. All of that teaching that Minister Kurt did was not for in vain. And it's coming into a place where now this now agreement is really, really taking on a new shape and a new form and a new anointing. And it's wonderful. It's awesome. But
Amen.
there is, we've been getting this word about how the anointing flows through our oneness, and how it really reveals the glory of the Lord. And it's really still in our series on peace, as I stated. It's just that next level. We've gone through level to level of peace, and we're just going to get some more deeper insight tonight of why the anointing is released through our oneness. So before we can get to why our oneness, and I've been wanting to get to this teaching, produces such a great flow that we can extract from each other. Before we can get to that, the Lord does want to reveal the reason why God would release such a glorious anointing due to our oneness. We looked at Psalms 133, and again, but we will dig even deeper to truly understand it. We kind of got something out of it from Psalms 133, but we're going to go even deeper into Psalms 133. And so we can get a deeper insight of what in the world causes this anointing to come because of us being in oneness. And we know Psalms 133 said it is as the ointment that runs down the beard of Adam, I mean, excuse me, Aaron, and it runs down his beard. And we know that, yep, that's there. It is as the ointment, which we all know means the anointing oil. But there's something here that triggers, and again, I wasn't expecting it, but the Father dropped it on me today. And so here we go. In John 17, 11, as one, we will be as Jesus and the Father. That's what we've been dealing with. We will be as, we will walk in the power, the degree that they walk in. will walk in their proportion and their same type relationship. Our oneness is going to produce those same results. And it says in John 17, 11, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are." And there it is. And that's that mystery that's coming out. As we are. It means, the word "as" we learn means how we are one, or just as we are one. Mm. It means even as we are one. And then it says, it means in proportion as. Powerful. Mm. It also means in the degree.
Yes, God.
Truly powerful. That our oneness will come and we will begin to see the degree that Jesus experienced with being one with the Father. And it's not that we're connected like that. We're connected because Jesus said in another scripture in John 17, which I'm not going to read from tonight, probably anymore. But in John 17, Jesus also made mention to the fact that that we would become one because it would be, he said, "Father, it would be you in me and I in them, and then it would be them in us."
Yes, God.
And so we will experience their relationship together, but it will be because of the fact that the Father is in Jesus and Jesus is in us and we are in them. But it's unlocked through our agreement. It's unlocked. That anointing of the Father and the Son is unlocked because of our oneness. It's because of that one word we've been saying for so long. It's because we're all propitiated. And that's what gives us that even playing field, that same mindset. And being in propitiation or being in the now word causes a oneness, which is proving, because we're in that place of propitiation, it proves that we are in Jesus and the Father is in Jesus there and Jesus is in the Father. So it proves we're connected. It proves it. And the word proportion, it says that we have the same proportion as them. It means according to a particular relationship in size, amount, or degree. It means the amount or the level or extent to which something happens. So if we become, our oneness becomes their proportion, we touch the same exact reason why things happened.
Amen. Amen.
We together, my God, there's a fragrance or an anointing that the Father releases because of our oneness. Mm-hmm. It's still the Father. It's still the power of Christ. Don't get me wrong, but it's released because we are in agreement with each other. That's been a mystery. That's been a key that I believe, and I'm adamant about it now because I've been studying it now for several weeks. I'm becoming more adamant, I should say, that this is a mystery of why we have not experienced that anointing. We haven't had a knowing. We've been in oneness because of the word we've been under, and God, praise God. But because of the lack of knowledge of what the oneness can do, we haven't seen the power of the oneness of being one released. And we haven't known how close together and how we've been under the same mindset. And because we haven't known it and had knowledge of it, we again have not been experiencing that proportion. We have not been seeing that anointing, but as we come into it more and more, we're going to see what Jesus saw by being one with the Father. We're going to see it. We're going to see the same. Somebody say amen if you're hearing me.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. So now the Lord has been revealing what the depth of our oneness truly is. And again, we become as the Father and Jesus. We together become their flow. That's what I heard today. We become their flow. All right. Psalms 133 says this, and this is where we pick up on tonight. Here we go. It says, "A song of degrees of David. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment. And we're going to look at that deeply tonight. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, and that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. So his blessing and eternal life are found in our unity. Can you imagine that? All right. But it's called, that's right, the blessing and our eternal life is found in our unity. And that's powerful. All right. But he first mentions here that it was precious. Precious ointment. All right. The word precious means welfare. Can you see that? It means prosperity and happiness.
Yes. Wow.
So precious is unveiling peace.
Yeah.
Our unity, God has been telling us now throughout the last few messages that this is the next level of peace. This is the next level of the unveiling of his peace that's going to come on our life, because we become the precious ointment.
Jesus.
All right. So we unlock the welfare and prosperity. We are unlocking our oneness is unlocking peace. I've been saying that merely by revelation. I did not have this particular definition in my wheelhouse, I'm being honest, but I've been hearing God say that our oneness is the next dimension of peace. But today he dropped a bomb on me and wanted to really unveil it to me, because I know what he's been placing in my spirit and speaking to me, that in coming together as his body, we're going to experience peace on another level. No longer me trying to be connected to the cherub, which is the Father. But now I understand I'm connected with my brethren. I'm connected with you here in the house of teaching, and the body that agrees and hears God at large. We together, our oneness becomes precious. And the word precious means welfare, prosperity, happiness, pointing to peace, obviously. The word ointment, this is where it gets really, really interesting. It means grease, as from the olive. It means richness. It means anointing. It means fat things or fatness, all right? It means fat things or fatness. And I'm sitting here saying, okay, Lord, what are you doing? And I have some knowledge about the fat. I've got some things that he's already placed in me years ago. And so I started to really meditate on this. And we become the fat. We become this precious fat. We become this precious fatness, this precious, and we to understand the worth of that, and we got to kind of study on what the fat did when they began to burn the fat back in the day. I remembered a scripture talking about God loved the smell of the fat. I knew something about him liking the fat. All right, and so that's kind of giving you a hint or an Easter egg of where we're going. That our oneness becomes that fat. It becomes the fat. Yes, it releases the welfare and prosperity, but watch how this comes together. This is going to blow your mind. I'm going to go to the book of Leviticus now. And again, I'm not going to be very long. I'm going to go to Leviticus chapter 3. We're going to pick up at verse number 1. Then we're going to skip down to verses 14 through 17. All right. And this chapter 3 is all talking about this fat offering, basically. And let me show you what kind of offering it is off rip in verse number 1 of chapter 3. And it says it off rip, what kind of offering this is when the fat is coming up into the nostrils of God. It says, and if his oblation be a sacrifice of peace offering, if he offer it of the herd, whether it be male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. So off rip, this kind of offering, when it's dealing with this, and it gets into how to construct the offering and talks about what God is looking for, when we pick up around verse 9, 10, 11, it gets into it. But then I just said, okay, let me get right to it in verse number 14, all right? So first of all, this is a peace offering being released. Now, remember, we become the peace offering as we are in unity. Watch the symbolism of how we're releasing God's peace over our lives in oneness. All right? Because of oneness. Verse 14 says, and he shall offer thereof his offering, even an offering made by fire unto the Lord, the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards. Verse 15 says, and the two kidneys and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver with the kidneys, it shall take away. Watch this. All right. It shall he take away. Excuse me. And the priest shall burn them upon the altar. It is the food of the offering made by fire for a sweet savor. Keep those two words in mind. We're going to get to those. All, listen to this. All the fat is the Lord's. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, signifying it belongs to the Father.
The Father.
All right. All the fat is the Lord's. Watch this now. Verse 17 is really important. It shall be a perpetual statute for your generations throughout all your dwellings, that you eat neither fat nor blood. That belonged to the Lord. All the fat. Now watch this now, guys. Drop this bomb on me here, and it's powerful, and it really makes sense. Now, we all know that the blood of Jesus has already propitiated our Father. We understand that the blood of the sacrifice of the body of Jesus has already propitiated the Father. He is appeased. He's no longer angry. The blood is in position. The blood is where it belongs.
Amen.
But the Lord has let me know but the Father has been missing the fat. This peace offering had two things to it. The blood and the fat belonged to the Father. These things belonged to him. And the blood would bring peace because it would be what propitiates and causes the anger of the Father to ever, forever be appeased. But the fat has been missing from the offering. Remember the fat here, which we read up here in Psalms 133, the fat means that our unity becomes the precious ointment. It becomes the fat. Our unity becomes the fat. Listen now, watch this. It becomes the fat. The blood of Jesus is in position, but the fat has not been in position. The fat and the blood, they both belong. The fat, it says, I like how it says in verse 14, all the fat. Jesus. Excuse me, verse 16, all the fat is the Lord's.
Amen.
Watch this now. So now, it becomes a perpetual statue. That means it goes on every single year. It's supposed to go on. Why are these things so sacred? First of all, it is the blood and the fat of the animals that are the most sacred unto the Lord. The blood and the fat. The reason being this is this would be what becomes a sacrifice, not just in the Old Testament, everyone, but also in the New Testament. The blood of Jesus would propitiate us and bring us into oneness of mind. Watch that. So now the blood is so important because it propitiates us and brings us into oneness of mind. And then the oneness of mind, that should say mind, would become the precious ointment and a sweet savor. It would actually become, we would become now the fat. The blood of the body, the blood of Jesus, would create the oneness of the body, which the body, listen, the head doesn't carry the fat. The body of animals carries the fat.
Amen.
Jesus. It's the body that carries the fat. So now, we being the body, our unity would now become the fat that God breathes in, and it becomes a sweet savor unto God.
Oh, my Lord God.
It becomes a sweet savor. God begins to enjoy breathing in our oneness, and it becomes this foreshadow of a peace offering. This is why the fullness of propitiation touches the Father. Listen, the Lord told me like this. He said, Todd, if my blood was designed to make the body, make all you believers one, but it doesn't do it. It doesn't do it. Then the purpose of my blood does not bring any satisfaction to my Father. But when my Father sees the purpose of my blood bring you into oneness, it becomes as the fat that was burned as sacrifice unto him.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Watch this now. So we've had the rhema of being under the blood and in propitiation, but we've been missing the rhema that we are also, we become the fat because of our oneness. And watch this. And all the fat is the Lord's, as the scripture says. Our oneness presents the sacrifice of the fat. Now watch this. This is mad crazy. And I mean it just like that. I couldn't believe this here. So the fat, watch this. First of all, I looked at some Jewish customs and started looking in some Old Testament scholars that understood what was going on. The fat of the inwards of the vital organs were always noted as being the most desirable and the best pieces of the animal. In fact, it was called a delicatessen, all right, in terms of flavor. It was the best. It is the best. Now, we don't know it in our Western culture, we don't understand it like that. But it is noted as the best. All right. So when we aren't in oneness and in the knowledge of being in oneness, the fat, watch this, is being stolen from the Father. The most desirable pieces and those ones that always belong to him during sacrifice, God has not been receiving that. And it's all due to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So we don't break structure here. That the blood of Jesus causes our oneness, which now foreshadows the fact that the Father loves. Now, watch this. So he has the blood of his son, but the fat is in the body, and our oneness releases, it's called a sweet savor. It releases a sweet savor unto God. Now, the blood and the fat are his. Now, watch this now. Now, the blood is there. The Father, he's satisfied with the sacrifice. He's so satisfied with it. But now the offering that has to come is not just the blood, but it's also the fat. Mm-hmm. Watch me now. All right, the fat says, it says it's sweet. Watch this. I could not believe this. We partake in the fullness of the Father's propitiation as the body of Christ. It's sweet. It means it becomes a delight. Look at this word here. It's restful. Wow. This is the Hebrew definition of sweet. It's pleasant. It's soothing. Mm. It's quieting.
Wow, God.
So now the blood is the sacrifice that was shed. But now the burning of the fat is the oneness that comes as a result of the blood that was shed. Jesus. What would come first in sacrificing an animal? The blood would be shed prior to fat burning.
That's right.
The blood was shed, but the fat has not been burning. We have not been moving in oneness, which brings the Father into complete restfulness. It brings him into the place of soothing. And it's a part, oh my God, help me, where we become a part of the sacrifice of Jesus.
Praise God.
And in this, in God receiving this, it gets even deeper. Now watch this. It goes even further than this. That when it comes together, the blood is here and the fat is here and those things, and it's happening, our oneness, man. Oh, how pleasant and wonderful it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is as the precious fat, the precious ointment. It is as the anointing itself. It creates the anointing itself. Why? Because this is the fullness of peace that's being given.
Jesus.
Because the purpose of the blood of his son was to bring us in to oneness as his body. Our oneness plays a vital role in the Father's propitiation. The blood shed by Jesus has forever appeased the Father. But when the Father sees the effect that it has on us as the body of Christ, it adds even more rest and soothing unto him, because the purpose of the bloodshed of his son is being revealed unto him. And it becomes his delight. He's restful. He's pleasant, soothing. It's quieting.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
All right, now if we can get the sweet now, we got the sweet, all right? But then if the savor part is what happens here, and it's really powerful. When it becomes a sweet savor, it does mean smell or odor, all right? It actually means smell. Then it means odor of soothing. But then I looked at the root word of savor, and it was really powerful. And this is what connected the reason behind the anointing coming in our unity. The word savor, it means odor of soothing. The root word is ruach. And I remember this word when I saw it. I said, I can't believe it. It means breath or to blow, breathe or to blow. It actually means spirit. Uh-oh. When our oneness is here, the sweet savor, the sweetness of it causes him to be restful and pleasant, soothing. It attaches itself to what Jesus has truly accomplished when he gave up and died and bled. It fulfills the fullness of the sacrifice when we're in oneness, because we're only propitiated by the blood of Jesus. Watch it now. So when the oneness comes, the full sacrifice of the Father, it becomes a sweet savor. Now the fat is burning in our oneness. Now what the Father does in the savor of it all is release his spirit or his anointing. That's why we are anointed as the body. We're anointed as the body because the fat is burning and the ruach of God is released in the savor. The spirit of God, the anointing of God is released in the savor of it. That's what the wealth and the worth and the importance of us coming into oneness and being the body, the ruach of God moves in the savor.
Thank you, God.
The Spirit of God is endorsed. He's endorsed to move. That's why they saw him move like that in the book of Acts. Why? Because they became the sweet savor, staying in the study, staying in the apostles' doctrine. They became the sweet savor and the ruach of God, the Holy Spirit of God. Was endorsed to bring forth healing, to bring forth debt freedom. Why? Because they became an odor of soothing. The reason of the blood of the Lamb of God was revealed. When the church came into oneness, it was revealed unto the Father. Here is the purpose of my plan of redemption. Here it is in their oneness. Here it is. All my children are one. The Ruach of God has no boundaries. They even said to themselves, they said, Peter didn't say it. They said it. Peter didn't say lay them out in the streets. Peter, it wasn't Peter's word. They said to themselves, even if his shadow overshadows us, we will be healed. That wasn't a word out of Peter's mouth. That was the word that came out of the mind of the Spirit. The Ruach of God was present. Why? Because they were one. And there was no boundaries. So the reason that we tap into this wonderful anointing is because we become the foreshadow of the burning fat of the sacrifice through our oneness. The fat is burning. God has had the blood right there all this time, but he's saying, but I'm missing one thing. I'm missing the fat that comes from the body. And that fat comes from this right here. And I'll read it again. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. It says, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. Now I know why it's like the dew of Hermon. I know why it is the place where God commands the blessing. Why? Because the Ruach of God, the Spirit of God, has no boundaries. Why? Because the precious ointment is the fatness. Our unity is that fatness. And God is receiving into his nostrils this sweet savor. And in the savoring of this sweetness, of the smell of unity, in the savor, the Ruach is found. It's found. Yeah. It's right here. It's right here. So the sweet savor of our oneness becomes the Spirit of God himself. As the fragrance of unity is released, so is the Spirit of God released, causing healing in every broken area. When we are unified, the Holy Spirit is endorsed to do great things in us and for us. We become the literal anointing. We become the body of Christ. And that's why the anointing becomes present in our oneness. The full sacrifice is before the Lord. It's before the Father. It's before the Father. Remember, we're not individual cherubs. We are one cherub facing the Father, and our wings are overlapping. We are one. We are joined unto him. And there'll be an understanding that's coming to us of why we can extract and why no longer will I pray as an individual, but I'm going to pray with the understanding that I'm a part of this body and I'm not alone. And I can put 1,000 to flight, but no. With you, we put millions on millions to flight.
Yes,
God. I'm not going as an individual anymore. I'm going as a part of the body, as a member of the body.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
There's more than me just standing up against these Midianites. I'm not standing here by myself, but I take into my mind, I take into my understanding. I have Elder Donna, I have Elder Allison, I have Prophetess Manita, my goodness. I've got Prophetess Manita, Evangelist Daryl, I've got Evangelist Benita, I've got Blanche, I've got Javon, I've got so many more. I've got Minister Kurt and Minister Joshua and Karen. I've got so many standing with me. I'm not going into prayer by myself.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
But I go in, and as I go in understanding that I'm a part of the body, and then I go out beyond my own vineyard here. I go out to those and I start to say, Lord, even those that understand you in the place of Rhema, I stand with them. And it becomes a sweet savor. It becomes the place where the Ruach of God is released. I'm not alone. Neither are you. We are members of his body. Jesus. And here's a Holy Ghost side note. Just a quick side note. We've been talking about giving first fruits. And I just saw this as so powerful.
Oh.
And the word first fruit, we know is reshith. The word first fruit in the Greek, it means the fat. In the Hebrew, it means the best or choice part. So when we're giving the first fruit, it is a form of absolute worship that's saying we're giving you our best. We're giving you the fat, even in our finance. We're giving you the fat. We're giving you the choice.
Yes, God.
Because the Bible says, watch this now, watch this. I just want to say it. It says this, and I just thought it was so fitting. That it says here, if first fruit means the fat or the choice part or the best, we remember it says here in verse number 16, part B at the end, it says all the fat is the Lord's.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Bless God.
And I just thought that was a pretty good Holy Ghost side note. And so when we stay in oneness, oh, please understand, if you're in the now study, please understand, if you're propitiated, please take this with you. Understand that you are the fat and you're a part of the sweet, sweet savor in the nostrils of our God. And please understand when he gets to the savoring part that he releases his ruach.
Mm-hmm.
That the anointing now is endorsed to move and do without restrictions and restraints. Elder Allison had said to me, he said, I read a scripture that Jesus has become a propitiation. He became a propitiation. And she said, you know, and I was listening to her and I was like, what are you saying? She said, yeah, I know the Father's propitiated because Jesus, but he's became a propitiation. I said, and I asked her and I actually called her again when I was in this. I said, did you mean that we take part in this propitiation? She said, yeah, Jesus became a propitiation. So our oneness has become a propitiation unto the Father.
Hmm.
It finishes what Jesus did. It was finished, don't get me wrong. Yeah. But the plan of redemption, our being one was in that it's finished when he said it. He saw us as being one. It was finished. I'm going to say this, and it's scary because every time I say it, I find myself probably just not. I thought propitiation was the end of the where the body needed to go. Then it is, it's still a part, but there was another hook to it. Propitiation in oneness.
Amen.
And being one.
Amen.
That's Amen. As far as the body has to go. It finishes. It's finished right there. It's finished. But the work of the cross is finished there. Because we can rise and be the body. And he said, when they become one, listen, he said, listen, then the world will know.
Yes.
They will know that you sent me.
That you sent.
They'll know. Why? Because they'll be proving
mm-hmm.
who you are, Daddy. The exploits they do. And he said, then, he said, listen, then when they're one, you can love them with the same love you love me with. And I said, Lord, what's that love? He said, it's the glory, the tangible glory, manifestation. He said, that's when I'll make you perfect in one. I'll bring you to full maturation. I'll bring you to full age. And then he'll love you with the same love he loved me. Everything I said, the Father backed me. Everything I did, the Father did. He was right there. There was nothing I ever said that it wasn't performed or done.
Mm-hmm.
He said, then the world will see that you love them too. The world is going to know that you love them because the world's going to be watching this supernatural dimension that we walk in. Come on, you all know it. We all say how God loved the Jews, how he made them wealthy and rich, and my goodness, how he was with them and prospered them. We saw his love. Well, they're going to see his love on us.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
We're going to give them the fat. We're going to give them the fat. He said it shall be for a perpetual statute for your generations throughout all your dwellings. He didn't say throughout Israel. He said, wherever you are in the world, it's still a perpetual statute that I get the fat. Mm-hmm. Jesus. And that's what I've got for you tonight. And that's why the anointing, praise God, that's why the anointing is released through our oneness. Because that savor becomes his ruach, that sweet savor. Amen.
Bless God.
Praise God.